I want to talk to you today about heaven. Heaven. Is it real? Is heaven a real place? Now, I realized something this week. I realized that I think about heaven a lot. I want to say this up front. When you make a comment like that, maybe someone interprets that as you feel like you are more spiritual than your fellow man. I don't see that. I don't think that's the reason that I think about heaven a lot. However, it would be rare on any given day if I didn't think about eternity in light of heaven. In fact, many times in a day, I will think about eternity. I will think about heaven. And I thought about this. I don't know if it's because I'm a pastor, if that's the reason that I think about eternity and think about heaven a lot. I'm not sure that's the reason why. I do deal with life and death issues quite a bit, being in my profession, if you will. But I realized something else about heaven. Heaven is what motivates me. It motivates me to do what I do and to live the way that I do. Now, I've come to believe that heaven is a real place, and here's what else I know. I want to spend eternity in heaven. Is there anybody else that's with me this morning? Now, this is what motivates me also not to do some things that my human nature would like to do. Can I really tell you what the Bible calls it? I just thought I'd dress it up real good. The Bible really calls it that sinful nature or that fallen nature that we all have. There are things, I'm just going to be real with you, there are things I would like to do that Scripture forbids and kind of and says, you know, I'm trying to skirt this to you. It doesn't kind of say it. It says that are not good for you, and if you do them, there's consequences. There are some things that occasionally my human nature would like to do, but heaven motivates me not to do those things. Heaven motivates me. I realize that heaven is an eternity which are the same to me, are always in the back of my mind. And I think about heaven, and heaven motivates me because, listen to this, I don't want to miss heaven. Heaven. Is it real? Is it a real place? Well, what I want to do this morning, because I know many of you are convinced, but maybe some of you are not, I want to go to the most reliable source on the subject that I know. There are a lot of sources you can go to, but I want to go to the Bible this morning. And if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 14, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 3. You can see them on the screen in just a moment, but I want to read it to you. I'll give you just a moment to turn there this morning, and I'm going to pray for us. So as you're turning, you just listen to my heart and listen to the Lord, and we'll agree in prayer this morning. Father, I pray that all of your people will be encouraged today. Father, however they hear this message, may you motivate us. May you encourage us. Lord, may you help us see beyond the fog of life. And Lord, may you help us go forward and see heaven and realize that as we're doing life every day, Lord, that you are going to give us grace and strength to press on into what you have for us. Help us to be motivated by heaven in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Here's the verses that I want to read. It says, let not your heart be troubled. I want to just stop in the middle of these verses and say, when I read that this week, those few words just really, and I'm just speaking figuratively, they reached out and really grabbed me. In other words, they spoke to me. Let not your heart be troubled. When I think about heaven and how heaven motivates me, what I'm doing is I'm realizing there's something beyond this life, and it helps me to better deal with the troubles of this life. When I tend to be troubled, that's when I think about heaven a lot. I think, you know, one day, as Paul said, I'm going to be absent from this body, and I'm going to be present with the Lord in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you the truth. You can take this one to the bank. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Those three verses absolutely encourage me. How about you? Now, the sense that we will live somewhere forever has shaped every civilization in human history. For example, in Australia, the Aborigines picture heaven as a distant island beyond the western horizon. The early Finns thought it was an island in the faraway east. Mexicans and Peruvians and the Polynesians believe that they went to the sun or the moon after death. Native Americans believe that in the afterlife their spirits would hunt the spirits of the buffalo. An ancient Babylonian legend refers to a resting place of heroes and hints at a tree of life. In the pyramids of Egypt, the embalmed bodies had maps placed beside them as guides to the future world. And the Romans believed that the righteous would picnic in the Elysian fields while the horses grazed nearby. Now, although these descriptions of the afterlife differ, there is a unifying testimony here, and it's the unifying testimony of the human heart throughout history and its belief in life after death. I believe every one of us have what some have described as a God-given vacuum or a place in our heart where we realize that there is something more to life. How many of you know there's more to life than finding the right job, finding the right mate for life, buying the right car, living in the right neighborhood, you know, working towards retirement than one day retirement? Folks, how many of you know there is more to life than that? And we all sense that. All of humanity and even history reveals that. Early Christians had a preoccupation with heaven. The Roman catacombs where the bodies of many martyred Christians were buried contained tombs with inscriptions such as these: "In Christ, Alexander is not dead, but lives." They had a perspective of the reality that when you die, you still live. Here's another one. It says, "One who lives with God." Another one reads this way: "He was taken up into His eternal home." You know what I want to happen today? I want you to leave this place today with encouragement in your heart. That whatever you're facing, whatever may be fogging up the lens of life, whatever may be coming against you or oppressing you, I want you to leave here with a perspective today that whatever it is, maybe you're filled with joy, that it just presses you on, that you realize, I have a purpose and I've got a destination and it's called eternity, and I want to spend eternity with God. One historian writes, "Pictures on the catacomb walls portray heaven with beautiful landscapes and children playing and people feasting at banquets." Now, the early Christians had this perspective, but you know, to many people today, this sounds almost foreign. They don't really understand that there is an eternity. In fact, I read a study recently, this may surprise many of you, that most Americans now are so preoccupied with life and doing life that they're not thinking about eternity. We want to think that they're thinking about heaven, but they're not. Now, they know there's something missing. They know there is something that needs to be filled in their life, but they're not sure what it is. How many of you know these beliefs of those down through history and even the Christians? These beliefs are rooted in scriptures where the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, he says, "To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Here's what Paul said, and I think some of you on sometime in your life may feel this way. He says, "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." What a perspective. Now, I'm not talking about, and Paul's not talking about kind of a mentality of I want to check out on life because it's all bad. He's realizing that there is something beyond this life. There's something beyond earning a living and raising children and just doing this thing called life and trying to get a retirement together so one day you can fish and golf all the time. He said, "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." You know what the writer wants us to get a perspective of? He wants us to get a perspective of eternity and what is beyond our life. Can I just hear one good amen this morning? He also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. He says, as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. He says this, we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. How many of you have ever felt that in your heart or sensed that in your heart on one of those really tough days, or as we like to say in America, on some of those Mondays where you're trying to get everything started? Have you ever felt that? I'll never forget one day in the hospital when my father was right in the middle of his sickness. Thank God it didn't last long, and he went on to eternity to be with God. But you would have to have known my father's humor. But he was very serious in one sense, and he said, son, I'll be honest with you. The way things are going right now, he said, if there was a little button somewhere, there was a little button that I could just reach over and push, he said, I'm telling you, I'd go right now. And he shared some other things about how he had made sure that everything was right with him and God. How many of you know you want to make sure of that before you go into eternity? Heaven will never be the same after he arrived. And I can think of some other characters and some other people that I've known. You know, I'm thinking about one person. I won't name their name, but I can tell you, Jesus, if he's not straightened out yet and not doing everything just right in eternity, they've got Jesus straightened out. They've got the choir straightened out. Everybody's toeing the line because they're there now. Even Peter. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 2, he said, in my Father's house or many rooms. And he said, I like this. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Do you understand that that makes us special to God? Maybe this morning you don't feel special. You feel out of place. You're like, life is just not working. Something's not wrong. Jesus wants you to know how special you are. When he left this earth, he was on a mission. And he was on a mission to go and prepare a place for you and for me. I want you in your heart to personalize that today. I don't want you to check out and say, well, apparently that is for somebody else. When Jesus talked about heaven, he deliberately chose common physical terms to describe where he was going and what he was preparing for us. He used the term a house. He talked about rooms. And he talked about a place. In other words, he wanted to give his disciples and us something tangible to look forward to. Folks, heaven is a tangible place where we're going to live. It has rooms. It has places. It has trees. The book of Revelation talks about the trees that are there. Talks about the fruit that are there. And for those of you who are animal lovers, the Bible says that there is going to be animals there. Amen. If you don't like animals, God will put you in the section or the neighborhood that says no pets allowed. Did you know that heaven will be everything you wanted on this earth? Some of you are longing for a better home. Some of you are longing for a better body. You are longing for a lot of things that you want better. Guess what? In heaven, you will have it. Amen. Those of you that say, I don't like the body that God gave me, just say, amen. I didn't hear too many amens, so you must all be happy. That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus knew that he was about to leave the earth and that his disciples were going to have challenges and that they were going to have difficulties. He wanted to say to them, in the midst of all of these things, there's something beyond this life, and I am going to personally go and I'm going to build it and I'm going to get it ready for you. This encourages me. Now, this place that we're talking about is not a ghostly realm of disembodied spirits, because human beings are not suited for such a realm. Now, some people, when they think about heaven, they just think about little fat chubby angels who are playing their harp with a halo on them. That's not the case. A place is by nature physical, just as human beings are by nature physical. But we are also spiritual, certainly. But there will be a physical aspect to eternity. I want you to think about the Garden of Eden for just a moment. It was a physical place, and it was man's heaven at the time until man made a mistake and blew it. Heaven, according to the Bible, is going to be absolutely gorgeous. Think about the things that you like to do in life. Those of you who do like hunting. Now, I don't know whether you'll actually hunt in the same aspect. I doubt you'll have your, whatever, your 360 rifle or whatever, going around shooting antelope and deer and all those things. I don't think it'll be the same, but maybe you'll go out to the fields and you'll intermingle with these animals. I don't know exactly how it's going to work out. Some of you like to piddle in a garden, or you like to grow a garden. Guess what? There's going to be plenty of gardens in heaven. Guess what else won't be in heaven? There won't be any smog in heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen? You know something else that I rejoice about that won't be there? There will not be barbed wire fences. No, I'm serious. There won't be highline wires. When you go out into the country, now the cities don't always have this, unless it's an older city. But think about it. All the highline wires, you see this beautiful landscape and you want to take a picture, and guess what's in the way? Highline wires. I'm serious. All these things that clutter life won't be there. By the way, you won't have to worry about buying a new car every few years, because guess what? You'll just, if I understand what the Bible says, you'll just think of something and you'll be there. That sounds great. You won't have to worry about an economy, because guess what? God will be in control of the economy. You won't have to go and have elections every few years and try to make a difference through the elections. Praise the Lord, the King is going to be the ruler of the universe. I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. And there is no corruption in His government. He will be the government. He will carry the government. So that won't be there. Isn't that good news? Man, that's what I want to do this morning. I want to lift the load off of you today. I want to make your life a little better today by telling you there is something worth going for in this life. Paul said, I press toward the mark. I press toward the prize of the high calling of God. How many of you know what the high calling is? The high calling is ultimately to make the right decision to ask Christ into your life and then go to heaven and live eternity with God. We are, according to the Bible, eternal beings. The reality is, I'm going to live somewhere when I die. We don't just kind of float off out there into nothingness and just kind of watch everything that's going on the earth and just kind of float around. That's not what the Bible says. But the Bible says we go to live with God, or we go and we live away from God. I want to live with God. How about you? This is what motivates me, folks. This is what motivates me. When I think life is too much and I say I cannot handle any more and the pressures are on, I just say to myself, God, thank you, there's a heaven. And according to your word, you say this on your worst day. You say, you know, you said that life is like a vapor, it's here today and gone tomorrow. That's the kind of scriptures you think about on a bad day. Now, on a good day, you're thinking, hey, let's slow this life thing down a little bit. But on that bad day, you're saying, thank God, this thing won't last forever, and one day I'll be there. Praise the Lord. Does this stir your heart and give you a reason to press on? It does me. Folks, in the climax of history, God's going to do something that I think is wonderful. What God is going to do, He's going to create a new heaven, and He's going to create a new earth. He's going to create a resurrected universe inhabited by resurrected people, listen to this, living with a resurrected Jesus. We're going to be resurrected out of this thing. If Jesus does not come back to the earth and take His people out before you die, guess what? You are going to be resurrected, and you're going to be resurrected to join heaven and all those who have gone before you. And I like that. And I'm going to read four of the verses to you that absolutely inspire me and encourage me. And there are some of those additional verses that are always in my heart. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. I want you just to listen. It reads this way. This is John, who has been having this revelation of Jesus, and he's been seeing history in the panoramic view of history, and now it's coming to its climax and it's coming to his end as we know it. And he says this. He says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them, and He will be their God. But here's the favorite verse of mine when I think about heaven. Verse 4 says this, And God will wipe away. I like that. Will wipe away. I don't know how He's going to do it, but He says He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, occasionally in a worship service, I will see people shedding tears, and I know sometimes they're tears of joy. I know sometimes they're tears of encouragement, but I also know sometimes they are tears of heartache and heartbreak and discouragement, and it's like a cleansing of the soul. But guess what? There's coming a day where we will shed no more tears. If you've ever had a loved one precede you in death that you loved and that you really were drawn to, you know what it means to have grief of heart. Some of you have lost children at an early age. Some of you have lost spouses. But really, they're not lost if they're in Christ. They're with God right now. You've not lost them. But nevertheless, there is a tearing of the heart. There is the shedding of tears. At least we hope there has been. But guess what? God's going to take whatever He has. I don't know if it's a Kleenex or what. A heavenly Kleenex. And He's going to wipe away every tear. Listen to this. He says, There shall be no more death. Now, can you feature living in a world that has no more death? Again, being in the business that I'm in the profession, it's really not a business, it's a calling. Being in this calling, I do deal with death just about every day of my life. If it's not a direct incident where someone says so-and-so passed away and you need to visit them or you need to call them or you need to pray for them or something I've heard, it's pray for so-and-so. They've been diagnosed with cancer or a problem that will probably cost them their earthly life. I'm thankful that one day I will never again have to preside over and lead a service where we're sending somebody on into heaven where we have to watch the grief of loved ones. I'm so glad that God is going to do away with death and that the day will come where there will be no more death. Are you encouraged by that? But He doesn't stop there. He says, nor sorrow. You know, there's the potential for great sorrow living in our world today, especially if you love righteousness. If you are one who's hungry to see God's kingdom advance, there's potential every day for sorrow. If you're a person who believes that in the old school where a handshake should do it, hey, how many of you know those days are gone? If you're a person who believes in integrity and being a person of your word, you are far and few between, and that opens you up for sorrow when people, even Christians, one to another, don't fulfill their word. It opens you up for sorrow. But I've got good news for you today, folks. There's coming a day where there will be no sorrow. And one other thing that He mentions here, actually there's several things. He says, no more crying. Mothers, how many of you have cried endless tears over your children or maybe even over your grandchildren? There'll come a day where you don't have to cry anymore. And by the way, I just want to say to all of you who have children and grandchildren, you keep praying for them and don't you give up on them. And if you feel you need to, you keep shedding those tears because God's hearing it. But how many of you know there comes a time where we just lay our children, and I'm speaking spiritually here, we just lay them on the altar and say, God, they're yours. We've kind of made that transition in life where now, I just love my kids. I encourage them. If they need advice, I give it to them, but I don't offer it too often unless they don't ask for it. Still in transition. One of my oldest son let me know the other night. He meant it well, and he was complimenting. He said, Dad, you've raised us well. You don't have to worry about us. You and Mom did a great job. Praise the Lord. It's good to hear. One of them the other day, our youngest one said, I had an epiphany the other day and said, Dad, I want you to be encouraged. That's good when you start hearing these things. Said, I had an epiphany. This is our daughter who's a school teacher. And she said, I've learned something. Some of these parents that have children, they're really good parents and they really teach their children some good things and they do things right. But these kids, some of them don't do so good. She said, you and Mom did a really good job with us. And just because some of them didn't turn out that well, you did a really good job. But they're all going to get there. And your little grandbabies are going to get there. God has heard your prayers. But how many of you know there does come a time with your children where that transition happens and you just sit back and you pray for them, you give them to God and you encourage them and you trust that they'll make the right decisions, and if they don't, the Holy Spirit will be there helping them. Amen. The angels will be there protecting them and watching over them. John continues, and I'm still in verse 4, he says, there shall be no more pain. And I think John here is talking about all kinds of pain. What about physical pain? What about people who are stricken down in their life with cancer and the pain that comes with that? What about the person that is experiencing a broken heart because of a failed marriage or a child who didn't do what you knew they needed to do? Or when you got the pink slip and said, I'm sorry, we don't have enough work here to keep you. How many of you know that can cause a great deal of pain in your life? And John sums this verse and these four verses up by saying this. And this is the day that is coming. And this is the motivation for us. He says, for the former things have passed away. Beloved, it'll not always be like it is now. Governments coming apart at the seams. Rioting. Wars. Rumors of wars. Earthquakes and famines and tsunamis and all these things. Guess what? Those things one day will be in the past. What I want to do today, I first want to convince you that heaven is a real place. And so I ask you today, is heaven a real place to you? Well, I've believed that it is. And I've even read testimonies of people who claim that they've been to heaven and that they've seen heaven. And I want to tell you, I believe many of those testimonies. But I'm not going to base my life on just those testimonies. Because I've heard some testimonies that of other people that have been translated to places where I don't want to go. So I don't base everything that I believe about heaven on the testimony of a human being. But I do base my life on the testimony of God's Word. And here's what I believe. I believe for the honest seeker that truly wants to find God and wants to know what life is really about and if there's an eternity, I believe there's ample evidence that heaven is a literal and a real place. And I realize that in order to complete this study, I'd have to speak for a year on heaven. But I'm not going to do that. What I want to do is I want to encourage you. Here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to look beyond the fog of life. I want you to look beyond what you cannot see or what you can see right now. And here's a little story that I think will help. In 1952, young Florence Chadwick stepped into the waters off the Pacific Ocean of Catalina Island, determined to swim to the shore of mainland California. Now, she had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. The weather was foggy and chilly, and she could hardly see the boats accompanying her. Still, she swam, listen to this, for 15 hours. When she begged to be taken out of the water along the way, her mother, thank God for her mother, who was encouraging her in a boat alongside her, told her that she was close and that she could make it. But finally, physically and emotionally exhausted, she stopped swimming and was pulled out of the water. But here's what she realized. It wasn't until she was on the boat that she discovered that the shore was less than a half mile away. And at the news conference the next day, she said, "All I could see was the fog." She said, "I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." Perhaps today you are burdened Maybe today you feel discouraged. Maybe you feel trauma. Maybe you feel distressed or depressed by life. And you just feel like you can't press on anymore. I want to be like that mother, and this time I pray you hear me. I want to encourage you folks. Listen, there may be a lot of fog in life, and I think there is right now. But listen, there is something to be attained, and it's only a half a mile away. In other words, it's not that far away. I want you to see beyond what you can see. I don't want you to see the fog today. I want you to see that there is a heaven out there to be gained. And listen, I'm going to go ahead and say there is a hell to be shunned. I do believe that you and I will live in one place or the other. I don't believe in this middle ground. There are some denominations that tell you there's a middle ground, and if someone does just right, you come out of that. That's not what this Bible says. Don't be involved in a church or a denomination or a religious movement that says you just kind of go out there and float around somewhere. Jesus Christ Himself said, you'll live with me or apart from me. The place where we live with God is called heaven. The other place is referred to by many things. It's referred to as outer darkness, where there's gnashing of teeth. Come on, I'm just going to tell you, it's called the Gehenna fires. And I don't say that to say, well, you were doing good now, preacher, but now what are you doing? Trying to scare us so we'll go to heaven? Not really. But I know that's what it took for me. I just had a little bit of rascal in me that's really dressing it up. In fact, someone, I believe it was Kim, this morning asked me about that, was asking me what I was like in school. I said, you really don't want to know. I needed a little scaring, folks. Because I liked doing things my own way. I didn't want anybody to be the boss. I wanted to be the boss. But you know, I don't even feel like God wants me to go that way this morning. Because I want you to leave here motivated. I want you to leave here with some encouragement, recognizing, man, I can press on. When I get up tomorrow, yeah, the problems with the children may still be there. The problem with the business or the marriage may still be there. But I want you to be encouraged. I want those of you that maybe are dealing with cynicism. How many of you know we're living in a very cynical time? People don't trust one another. You know, sometimes they just don't like each other. What I want you to do is consider the words of this young lady. She said this. She said, I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. I want you to see the shore today. Because if I can get you to see the shore of heaven, I think I can cause you to be encouraged and be motivated to move on with God. Now for believers, that shore is Jesus. And being with Him in the place that He promised to prepare for us, where we will live forever, is called heaven. I want you encouraged. I want you motivated today as you're standing to realize there's an eternity for you. God loves you. How many of you heard the words of Jesus? And I come back to those for just a moment this morning. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Can we this morning by faith just give God our troubles? Easy for our minds to be troubled, even while we're hearing a good message. Jesus wants you to be free this morning from troubles. If I could take everything away from you that's in your life that's harming you or hurting you or discouraging you, I'd do that. But I don't have that promise. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. He said, you believe in God? Then believe in me. He was basically saying, I am the way and I am the truth. And if you believe in God, then believe in me. And he said, if you do that, he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going back and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house are many mansions. Folks, listen to me. There's room for every one of us in God's house. And I don't want anyone to have a mentality today, well, yeah, but I'll have to, I've heard this before and I don't like it. Yeah, but mine will probably be on the outer skirts. In other words, because I'm not worthy enough, I'm not good enough to be in the Father's house. Listen, folks, you got to get rid of that thinking. Because that kind of thinking may not keep you out of heaven, but it'll keep you out of the blessings that God has for you. Well, I'm just not worthy. None of us are worthy. Folks, if it weren't for Jesus, you must let God make this real to you. If it were not for Jesus, none of us would be worthy to go live with Him. Is it true? It is true. And so guess what Jesus is doing right now? We kind of think of God sitting on His throne and Jesus sitting at His right hand. That's for a little later. Let me tell you, Jesus is building some things right now. And He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to hear the voice of your mother. Come on, you can make it. Come on, you can make it. Are you hearing the shoreline approaching? I want to pray for us this morning. Father, I pray this morning that You would do in our hearts what no one else can do. Father, You can encourage us. You can give us a new heart. You can give us the motivation that we need. But Father, just unveil these truths to us so that, Lord, when we leave here today or when we go wherever we go, You will encourage us. And we'll have the motivation to live the way that You want us to live. And we'll give You praise for it. Because I think we ought to just lift our hands to God. And I don't do that to make you feel uncomfortable. How many of you know it's a sign to God of serenity? It takes childlike faith to just say, God, I'm lifting my hands to You in serenity. And I'm just saying, God, have Your way in my life. I give You my life. I give You my cares. I give You my troubles. And I do this in the name of Your Son. Let me just say right now, as we're here, and you're hearing me and you're a part of this service, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, you've not invited Him into your life, it really is simple when you're ready. The Bible says if you believe that Jesus is who He said He is and that God raised Him from the dead, and you confess Him with your mouth, you confess Him as Lord. In other words, you're saying, Jesus, this is real to me. I need a Savior. I need a healer. I need someone to guide the ship. I need someone to encourage me on. And you're willing to say yes to Him, and you say, wherever You lead me, wherever You take me, wherever the boat leads me, even though I can't see, I will follow in faith. And you're willing to confess Him as Lord. The Bible says you'll be saved. Anybody here this morning say, I want to be saved?